Dear Mary and family, friends, with what shall we come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Now, I'm thinking that that question is not superfluous. It's not a silly question. It's the kind of question that you might ask when you're invited to have dinner at someone's house. What can I bring? And they'll say, no need. And so you buy a $13 worth of bottle of wine, and you present that to them as kind of a gift. But now suppose somebody invited you to a two-week stay at a chalet in the Rocky Mountains for skiing. A bottle of wine wouldn't be quite the right thing to give. What would you give? With what would you come? Now, with God. You know, I came across one of those things that you read every now and again, that this universe, if you were to take all the stars in all the galaxies and reduce the size of each star to the size of a tiny pinhead, you could fill to overflowing over 3 billion Miami Orange Bowl. So what do you give to the God who made, sustains, and knows the names of every star? Do I come with a calf? 1,000 rams, maybe? Or 10,000 rivers of oil? Or maybe something most precious? Should I come with the fruit of my flesh in exchange for the transgressions of my soul? What do we bring? It's not a superfluous question, but Micah would say it's an unnecessary question, because the Lord has shown us what is good, and he has told us what is required of us. Namely, that we do justice and love kindness, and that we walk humbly with our God. Now that text was written on Steve Munsma's desk. And it wasn't just written on his desk, of course, as you've all heard. It was written on his heart. It formed his passion to do justice, to act kindly, and to walk humbly with his God. It became the path of his life. And again, as we've heard, he did not strut. Steve did not strut. He was an unassuming man. I first heard of him back in the 70s when my father-in-law was also a state legislator. And at the family table, we were talking about different legislators from the area, and he talked about Steve Munsma. And I remember him saying this. He says, Steve was a Democrat. My dad was a Republican. And he would say, you know, Jack, even though we were on different sides of the aisle, I always understood why Steve was championing a certain cause or wanting a certain bill. And he and I might not always agree on the strategy, but I always understood him because, you see, I think we served the same Lord. Steve was formed by what it was that Micah says the Lord requires of us. And I think as a church, it's always one of the great privileges of being a member of a church where people of that stature, of that embodying of Christian virtues, worships among you. You watch him. You listen to him. Steve was on council a number of times. He would sit in the circle, and he had long legs. And he would always, and I always think, I'm not always, but I would sometimes think, now that man would need an aisle seat in an airplane. But he would listen and he would make his comments and observations. And they were always kindly informed. And now, you know, you've heard a good deal about Steve's faith and his life. And I just want to say that as we remember and honor him, we realize that the best way that we can honor Steve is by living the kind of life that claimed him. To live the kind of life that claimed him. And that requires more than a decision. Okay, that's good. Sounds like a good life to live. It requires a deep faith in God, obviously. And so I was just going to make some brief comments about those three things that Micah says is required of us, and start with the bottom one, namely that we walk humbly with our God. This business of walking humbly means to live circumspectly, wisely. It means you have such a sense of God's magnificence, of his creation and of his delivering, that it would seem totally unseemly to live selfishly and to grab all for yourself. To live humbly, to walk humbly. William Rowan, a former Archbishop of Canterbury, he has a little book on discipleship and a chapter on being holy. And he says this becoming holy requires that we be taken over by the extraordinariness of God. Now, I want to say is Steve sounds to me like he was one taken over by the extraordinariness of God. Extraordinary in the creation of this magnificent universe. Extraordinary in the way he delivered and redeemed us. Extraordinary in the promises he makes to us that he will gather all of his creation and make it new and splendid and glorious. The extraordinariness of God. And to be aware and to cultivate in our children this extraordinariness, and then to enter into the world joyfully and to enter into it as deeply as we can in love and service. To walk humbly with your God. And then to act justly or to do justice. And of course, Steve was huge on the whole issues involved in forming a just society and being a just person. And he's written books, and people have written books about the significance and the meaning of it. And clearly, it requires that we act fairly, be fair, impartial. In the scriptures, justice oftentimes means protecting, looking after those who are powerless, the weak. So the orphan and the widow, the poor and the alien. Justice requires that we seek to protect them, give them a fair shot at life. Steve sought justice. The last book that he wrote, he speaks there about justice with regards to faith-based communities in a secular world. And I want to read to you what he says at the beginning of that book to be his vision. It is one where persons of all religious faiths and of none at all are not only free to worship or refrain from worship as their beliefs require, but also free to live out their faith as citizens active in the public life of the nation and in the faith-based organizations that they have formed. In this vision, society acknowledges and respects the wide diversity of religious and non-religious belief systems, perspectives, and organizations. None is favored, none is disfavored. This is where we take our stand. This is what we defend in the book. A vision based on a commitment to religious freedom, pluralism, and tolerance. That things be just, that we foster the common good. So to do justice and to act kindly. Steve again, he was kind, benevolent, generous. And this is not just a feeling, kind feelings. We are to act kindly. You know, the basis for it, in terms of how we treat one another, kindly, generously, benevolently, encouraging one another, it is that Steve and the Christian faith sees every last one of us on this creation as God-related before anything or anyone else. God-related. And as such, every person deserves respect and kindness due to the fact that they are related to God. They carry a dignity, a weightiness that we must affirm in ourselves and acknowledge in all those around us. I came across something that Boris Pasternak, Pasternak. He wrote the book Dr. Zhivago, and he has one of the characters in that book say, one can easily forget how the empires of the ancient world simply assumed that vast numbers of human beings could be sacrificed and slaughtered without a second's thought. But the Christian gospel declares that there is nothing more godlike and precious than a single human person. Now the church and the Christian faith and the Judaic faith and the Islamic faith, who all understand this God-relatedness of every human being, haven't always obviously practiced what they knew to be true. But at the heart, That is what we believe, and that is what Steve so profoundly believed, that it shaped his life. We will, as a church, as a community, miss Steve. You know, it occurred to me, this is the first time that I've done a funeral where the governor of a state asked that we fly the flag at half-mast because one who was among us is no longer among us. He lived and died as a child of God, who comes to God's presence, into God's presence, a humble servant, a debtor to grace, who sought mightily to live faithfully, and for that we are grateful. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.